किसी आर्यन द्रविड़ियन डिवाइड पर की है, वो आजकल फिर से एक्टिव हो गए। आर्यन द्रविड़ियन जो थ्योरी है, पहले तो ये बताएं ये थ्योरी क्या है।
जो एनाटोलिया और तुर्की का जो आज ज्योग्राफिकल रीजन है वो ओरिजिनली ग्रीक रीजन था। नॉट इवन वन एविडेंस ऑफ माइग्रेशन ऑफ अ फॉरेन कल्चर इनटू इंडिया एनी टाइम।
शो मी एन एविडेंस ऑफ एनी नोमैड्स प्रोड्यूसिंग अ लैंग्वेज ऑफ दिस सोफिस्टिकेशन।
एग्जैक्टली, दे ऑल्सो हैव लिंग्विस्टिक आर्ग्यूमेंट्स कि भाई संस्कृत एंड ओल्ड पर्शियन आर सिस्टर लैंग्वेजेस। द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द 21st सेंचुरी ऐसा कहते थे कि सरस्वती नदी एक मिथ है। It is now identified as the Saraswati. Incontrovertible evidence. जो roots है Western civilization का, it is Greece, Mesopotamia and Egypt.
तो ये जो genetics वाला जो मामला है, ये कब शुरू हुआ, क्यों शुरू हुआ, अब क्या चल रहा है, थोड़ा सा ऐसे बताइए जिससे कि आम हमारे जो audience है उसको भी समझ में आ जाए।
जी,
thank you very much. Let me have the pleasure of shaking you by the hand, as a Brit would say.
Namaste. आप सभी का स्वागत है इस TJD पॉडकास्ट में। आजकल आप देख रहे हैं कि आर्यन और द्रविड़ियन वाला जो मामला है वो एक बार फिर से गरमाया हुआ है और लोग सनातन धर्म के ऊपर भी आक्षेप लगा रहे हैं इसी के बहाने से। तो हमारे पास इस आर्यन इन्वेजन थ्योरी जो कि इसके मूल में है उसके एक्सपर्ट हैं, और आप जानते हैं कौन है, वह हैं अभिजीत चावड़ा जी। जी हाँ, आपके जाने पहचाने अभिजीत चावड़ा जी आज हमारे साथ हैं। आपका स्वागत है अभिजीत चावड़ा जी जयपुर डायलॉग्स के स्टूडियो।
धन्यवाद सर, थैंक यू सो मच।
तो आप देख रहे हैं कि हमारे कुछ जो राजनेता हैं जिन्होंने अपनी पूरी पॉलिटिक्स, पूरी राजनीति जो है वो इसी आर्यन द्रविड़ियन डिवाइड पर की है, वो आजकल फिर से एक्टिव हो गए
जी,
और वो बताना चाह रहे हैं कि साहब की वो कुछ अलग है और हमारे जो उत्तर भारत में कुछ आर्य अलग हैं। जो वो पुरानी कहानी बताई जाती है कि 1500 BC के आसपास जो आर्यंस थे वो आए थे और उन्होंने द्रविड़ियंस को भगा दिया था और वो जो है वो बेचारे बड़े परेशान हो गए, साउथ इंडिया में चले गए
जी।
ये अलग बात है कि ब्राह्मण उनमें भी थे और ब्राह्मण दूसरों में भी थे। तो ये जो आर्यन द्रविड़ियन जो थ्योरी है, जो पहले तो ये बताएं ये थ्योरी क्या है।
अब ये थ्योरी ये है कि अप्रोक्सीमेटली ये थ्योरी ऐसा कहता है कि कुछ 1500 BC के आसपास, पहली बात तो ये है कि ये थ्योरी कहता है कि जो सो कॉल्ड द्रविड़ियन लोग हैं,
पहली बात तो ये थ्योरी नहीं है,
ये हाइपोथेसिस है, ये
हाइपोथेसिस है जो कभी प्रूव नहीं की गई।
कोई प्रूफ
इसको प्रूव करने के लिए 2,10,00,000 का इनाम जयपुर डायलॉग्स ने अनाउंस किया था, उस चीज को 5 साल हो गए लेकिन आज तक कोई इस थ्योरी को प्रूव करने आया नहीं।
हाँ,
ये एक और समस्या है।
तो थ्योरी ये कहता है कि जो भारत के ओरिजिनल नागरिक है, इनहेबिटेंट्स है, वो सो कॉल्ड द्रविडियंस थे और ये हर जगह भारत में रहते, पूरे सब कॉन्टिनेंट में ये हमारे ओरिजिनल भारत के ओरिजिनल निवासी थे और कुछ 1500 BC के आसपास बाहर से, यूरोप से और सेंट्रल एशिया से गोरी चमड़ी वाले आर्य आए, उन्होंने भारत पर आक्रमण किया, उन्होंने इन द्रविडियंस को हरा दिया और उनको फिर साउथ में, भारत के दक्षिणी हिस्से में फोर्सिबली वहाँ भेज दिया उनको, और फिर ये अपनी भाषा संस्कृत को सबके ऊपर थोप दी और उनकी जो, उनका जो बहुत ही ईविल रिलीजन है हिंदुइज्म विथ कास्ट सिस्टम, ये सब पे ठोप दिया और तब से भारत इस परिस्थिति में है। तो ओवरऑल उनका इस थियरी का ये जिस्ट है और ऐसा लगता है कि ये रेशियल थियरी है लेकिन एक्चुअली थियरी का जो मेन क्रक्स ये है कि संस्कृत इज़ अ फॉरेन लैंग्वेज टू इंडिया एंड हिंदुइज़म इज़ अ फॉरेन रिलीजन टू इंडिया, ये सब बाहर से आए हैं। तो आपने आपकी भाषा और आपका रिलीजन इनके ऊपर थोपा तो आप क्यों नहीं कोई और आपके ऊपर फॉरेन रिलीजन थोपे, इट इज जस्टिफाइड, इट इज कम्प्लीटली जस्टिफाइड बिकॉज यू डिड द सेम थिंग। तो एसेंशियली मेन क्रक्स आर्यन इन्वेजन थियरी का ये है, 1500 BC के आसपास बाहर से आर्य आए और आज के जो नॉर्थ इंडियंस और वेस्ट इंडियंस है ये आर्य के डिसेंडेंट्स है, मतलब दे आर इविल, दे आर द रिजल्ट ऑफ इन्वेजन और जो साउथ के जो लोग हैं स्पेशली तमिल्स एक्सेट्रा, ये ओरिजिनल इनहैबिटेंट्स हैं इंडिया के. तो ये थ्योरी क्या करती है, इट डिवाइड्स, भारत को डिवाइड करती है दो हिस्सों में, नॉर्दर्न इंडिया एंड सदर्न इंडिया. और ये एक सेपरेटिज्म वाला फीलिंग क्रिएट करती है और ऑपरेशन वाला फीलिंग क्रिएट करती है अमंग पीपल ऑफ सदर्न इंडिया. और दूसरा उसमें कास्ट का भी एंगल ले लोग लाते हैं कि हायर कास्ट जो लोग हैं वो आर्यन से, और सो कॉल्ड लोअर कास्ट वाले जो लोग हैं वो द्रविडियन से, और उनको हजारों वर्षों से ऑप्रेस किया है गोरों ने, आर्य लोगों ने, और अब हमें सोशल जस्टिस की ज़रूरत है एंड दी हिंद सनातन धर्म हैज़ टू बी डिस्ट्रॉयड, द ब्राह्मिन्स आर इविल और संस्कृत इज इविल एंड ऑल नॉर्थ इंडियन लैंग्वेजेस आर फॉरेन लैंग्वेजेस. तो ये बात है. सो इससे क्या होता है कि भारत में डिविजन्स खड़े होते हैं. ये थियरी कुछ 19th सेंचुरी के मिडिल में शुरू हुई थी, अब मैक्स मुलर का ओरिजिनल ये थॉट था और उसका एक भी एविडेंस नहीं है, लेकिन इट इज़ स्टिल द मोस्ट डोमिनेंट थियरी. आपके हर कॉलेज में, हर टेक्स्ट बुक में, स्कूल में ये थियरी पढ़ाई जाती है, आइदर ओवर्टली और कवर्टली, लेकिन ये चलता आ रहा है. और आज आई मीन इफ यू लुक एट गवर्नमेंट ऑल्सो, बहुत सारे गवर्नमेंट वेबसाइट्स में ये आर्यन द्रविडियन की बात होती है, जुडिशरी में बात करती है आर्यन द्रविडियंस की, मिनिस्ट्री ऑफ टूरिज्म एंड कल्चर अंटिल रिसेंटली ऐसे बात कर रही थी आर्यंस एंड द्रविडियंस एंड ऑल दैट, आर्यन कल्चर एंड द्रविडियन कल्चर. तो ये बहुत डीप रूटेड है इंडिया में, इंडियन कॉन्शियसनेस में, और मोस्ट जो हमारे जो लोग हैं उनको पता भी नहीं है कि दिस इज ऑल लाइज, देर इज नो प्रूफ फॉर इट, लेकिन हमारे टेक्स्ट बुक्स में ये पढ़ा जाता है, हमारे टीचर्स, हमारे प्रोफेसर्स ये सब मानते हैं, हमें पढ़ाते हैं. अगर आप IAS में जाएंगे तो आपको ये पढ़ाया जाएगा, आपको ये सब अब्जॉर्ब करना पड़ेगा, सीखना पड़ेगा, और आपको एग्जाम में वो सब लिखना पड़ेगा. तो ये सिचुएशन है आज, देर इज एब्सोल्युटली नो प्रूफ, नो एविडेंस ऑफ एनी इन्वेजन, एनी माइग्रेशन, नथिंग. तो पहले उन्होंने कहा था कि इन्वेजन हुआ था, आर्यन इन्वेजन, ठीक है भाई, आर्यन इन्वेजन हुआ था, तो हमें दिखाइए एविडेंस का इन्वेजन का, आर्कियोलॉजिकल एविडेंस. तो भाई आपको लोग 200-150 साल से ढूंढ रहे हैं आर्कियोलॉजिस्ट्स एविडेंस का फॉर अ इन्वेजन, आज तक एक भी एविडेंस नहीं मिला है कहीं पर भी. तो फिर क्या हुआ कि लेट 20th सेंचुरी में हमारे जो महान हिस्टोरियंस हैं, एमिनेंट हिस्टोरियंस, उन्होंने इस थियरी को थोड़ा सा रिवाइज किया, अमेंड किया. वो कहते हैं कि वी हैव मॉडर्नाइज द थियरी, वी हैव न्यू एविडेंस एंड ऑल, कि भाई इन्वेजन नहीं था, ये माइग्रेशन था. ठीक है, माइग्रेशन था, तो हमें माइग्रेशन का एविडेंस दिखाइए आर्कियोलॉजिकल रिकॉर्ड में. जब कोई किसी जगह पर माइग्रेशन होता है तो आपको आर्कियोलॉजिकल रिकॉर्ड में उसका एविडेंस मिलेगा. कल्चरल चेंजेस, चेंजेस इन लाइफस्टाइल, चेंजेस इन आर्किटेक्चर, चेंजेस इन रिलीजियस इमेजरी, आइकोनोग्राफी, कहाँ है? फॉर एग्जांपल, एक एग्जांपल है टर्की. अभी तुर्क जो लोग हैं वो सेंट्रल एशिया से आए थे, जो एनाटोलिया और टर्की का जो आज जियोग्राफिकल रीजन है वो ओरिजिनली ग्रीक रीजन था. और अगर आप आर्कियोलॉजिकल रिकॉर्ड देखेंगे तो आपको अब्रप्ट चेंज दिखेगा इन द आर्कियोलॉजिकल रिकॉर्ड कि अचानक से कुछ नया कल्चर आ गया है यहाँ पे. सो इट हैपन्स विद इन्वेजन्स, इट हैपन्स विद माइग्रेशन ऑल्सो. तो भारत में आपको कहीं पर भी माइग्रेशन का भी एविडेंस नहीं मिलेगा, नॉट इवन वन एविडेंस ऑफ माइग्रेशन ऑफ अ फॉरेन कल्चर इन टू इंडिया सम एनी टाइम अराउंड 1500 BC और व्हाटएवर. तो आर्यन माइग्रेशन का भी कोई एविडेंस नहीं है, ना तो कोई आर्कियोलॉजिकल एविडेंस है, ना तो कोई किसी और प्रकार का एविडेंस है. अगर आप तमिल संगम लिटरेचर पढ़ेंगे तो उसमें भाई वेदों की बात होती है, उसमें ब्राह्मणों की बात होती है, उसमें पूरे भारतवर्ष का जो ज्योग्राफी है अप टू द हिमालयाज और उसके नॉर्थ का भी हिस्सा, उसकी बात होती है, उसमें रामायण और महाभारत की बात होती है. तो भाई संगम लिटरेचर में ये, और संगम लिटरेचर बहुत पुराना है, इट इज़ थाउजेंड्स ऑफ ईयर्स ओल्ड, मच बिफोर द आर्यन इन्वेजन. और किसी भी तमिल लिटरेचर में आपको कहीं पर भी किसी इन्वेजन की बात नहीं मालूम नहीं है कि देर इज नो रिकॉर्ड ऑफ एनी फॉरन इन्वेजन. There is no
anywhere actually, not even in any Sanskrit description.
Not even in Sanskrit
scriptures. Not in Sanskrit literature.
Huh.
Nor is there any inscription.
Nahi.
Nor is there any epigraphical evidence. Nor any numismatic evidence. Nothing.
Nothing. So, आपको invasion का कोई evidence नहीं मिलता है. आपको migration का कोई evidence नहीं मिलता है. Aryan migration का ना ही archaeological record में, ना ही Tamil Sangam literature में, कहीं पर भी evidence नहीं है. तो अब ये लोग क्या कर रहे हैं? कि दे आर नाउ ब्रिंगिंग जेनेटिक्स इनटू दिस, जेनेटिक्स, कि भाई हम से जेनेटिक्स ऐसा साइंस है कि बहुत कम लोग समझ पाते हैं, क्योंकि इट्स अ साइंस एंड मोस्ट पीपल डोंट अंडरस्टैंड साइंस, और ये बहुत ही कॉम्प्लेक्स टॉपिक है. तो अब ये लोग जेनेटिक्स को लाए हैं बीच में.
इसके पहले कि आप जेनेटिक्स में जाएं,
हाँ,
थोड़ा सा लिटरेचर और आर्कियोलॉजी डिस्कस कर लेते हैं.
जरूर जरूर.
जेनेटिक्स इज अ वेरी हैवी सब्जेक्ट,
हाँ,
तो उस पर हम फिर बाद में चलते हैं. पहले
जी, जी.
तो जैसे लिटरेचर की बात है तो डॉक्टर डेविड फ्रॉली ने भी इसको रिफ्यूट किया है फ्रॉम द पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू ऑफ लिटरेचर। और उनका आर्ग्यूमेंट बड़ा सिंपल है और बहुत ही सिंपल आर्ग्यूमेंट वो कहते हैं कि भाई आप ये कहते हैं कि ये लोग जो है ये स्टेप्स से आए, दीज पीपल माइग्रेटेड फ्रॉम द स्टेप्स फ्रॉम सेंट्रल एशिया फ्रॉम सेंट्रल एशियन रीजन। इज देर एनी एविडेंस ऑफ दैट लिटरेचर देयर और दे वाइप्ड इट क्लीन फर्स्ट एंड देन दे माइग्रेटेड।
एग्जैक्टली। और अब मुझे बताइए, आप दुनिया में बहुत सारे नोमैडिक कल्चर्स हैं, ठीक है, जितने भी नोमैडिक कल्चर्स हैं, हाउ मेनी ऑफ देम हैव प्रोड्यूस्ड कॉपीस्ट एडवांस्ड लिटरेचर इन
सिविलाइजेशन। दिस इज आल्सो डॉक्टर डेविड फ्रॉलीज आर्गुमेंट, वन ऑफ द आर्गुमेंट्स, अनदर आर्गुमेंट, द सेकंड लेग ऑफ दिस आर्गुमेंट इज दिस जो आप बोल रहे हैं, भाई शो मी एन एविडेंस ऑफ एनी नोमैड्स प्रोड्यूसिंग अ लैंग्वेज ऑफ दिस सोफिस्टिकेशन।
एग्जैक्टली exactly, incredibly sophisticated language, incredibly rich
it
language.
Is even today the most sophisticated,
even today, absolutely,
even today.
Yeah, you simply can't develop a language of this richness, of this depth, wandering around. You simply can't. You
have to settle it. Don't have a grammar like this.
You don't have a grammar like this. Exactly.
But jo uske jo vedang hai, jo aapke 6 vedang jinko bolte hain, isme aapke kya itna shiksha, व्याकरण, निरुक्त, छंद, कल्प और एक और है, तो वो जो 6 वेदांग हैं उसके आधार पे, ऑन द बेसिस ऑफ दैट स्पेशली द रूट साइंस, निरुक्त, निरुक्त इज द रूट साइंस। आई थिंक इवन टुडे इन द एटिमोलॉजी ऑफ मोस्ट लैंग्वेजेस दे डोंट हैव दैट काइंड ऑफ अ रूट साइंस। यू टेक वन रूट एंड यू कैन प्रोड्यूस a number of words out of them.
It's almost mathematical in nature.
Mathematical in nature. Aphorisms. They have the aphorisms and they have algorithms. ये कहाँ है? Aphorism, algorithm, किसी language में ये बता सकते हैं क्या? Algorithms in, I think it's only recent vintage. Mathematical algorithms.
बिल्कुल, बिल्कुल.
The first mathematical algorithms have come out of this culture.
Yes.
तो ये nomads के लाने की क्या संभावना है?
बिल्कुल नहीं. और they also have linguistic arguments कि भाई संस्कृत and old Persian are sister languages. भाई आपने देखा है संस्कृत का complexity और फिर आप old Persian का complexity देखिए. There is no comparison. तो एक argument ये है कि जो आर्यन से वो सेंट्रल एशिया से आए, एक ब्रांच ईरान चला गया पर्शिया में और दूसरा ब्रांच भारत में आ गया, एंड दैट्स व्हाई वी हैव टू लैंग्वेजेस विच आर वेरी सिमिलर। लेकिन अगर आप, और मैं आपको ये कहूँगा कि लिंग्विस्टिक्स इज नॉट अ साइंस, लिंग्विस्टिक्स इज अ ग्रुप ऑफ पीपल जो साथ में बैठते हैं, दे कम टू अ कंसेंसस बेस्ड ऑन वट एवर आई डू, वट एवर नैरेटिव्स दे बिलीव इन, एंड देन दे क्रिएट रूल्स ऑफ लिंग्विस्टिक्स। उन्होंने एक प्रोटो इंडो यूरोपियन लैंग्वेज बनाई है विच इज मेनली इन्फ्लुएंस्ड बाय वेस्टर्न लैंग्वेजेस, not by Sanskrit, okay? Despite the fact that Sanskrit is the oldest language in the world that we know of. So, ye kehte hai ki bhai Sanskrit is not the oldest language, it is 1500 BC or something. Based on what assumptions are you making this claim? Kuch bhi nahi. They just assume it, ki 1500 BC ke aspas ki baat hai. So, ye kehte hai ki Persians and Indians are two branches of the invading Aryans. Actually, agar aap Persian, old Persian bhasha ko dekhenge, it is an upbranch language of Sanskrit.
Fighting a lone battle, but then whatever he is saying is absolutely logical, and he is producing proofs phenomenally.
Yes, yes. They tried to co-opt him, didn't work. Didn't work.
Then what they are doing, they are not able to disprove his arguments.
Yeah.
So what they are doing right now is to just ignore him.
Just ignore, marginalize. Don't give it any currency. Don't bring it out to the open. Let him talk on his own in a corner, and we'll not talk about it. We completely ignore it. So what needs to happen is we need to re-examine linguistics a priori, especially Indian linguistics. There is this, only two alag language families bana ke rakhi hai linguistics mein, Aryan languages and Dravidian languages, Indo-Aryan and Dravidian. What is the basis for this? There is more in common between the Indo-Aryan languages, so-called, and the so-called Dravidian languages than what the Indo-Aryan languages have in common with, let's say, German or Slovakian or whatever. There is way more in common between the so-called two Indian language families. So, ये सब जो linguistic classification जो बना के रखा है, it has all been done by foreigners. Foreigners have no business deciding what happens here and how to interpret our linguistic heritage. So what needs to happen, क्या होना चाहिए, कि we need to re-examine Indian linguistics a priori with Indian linguists, not eminent linguists or historians, but fresh people who are just out of college or university. Start from there, examine it mathematically, examine it scientifically, examine it from the perspective of logic, not from the perspective of consensus that has already been achieved by foreigners. Agar hum theek se
reject Indology in a way.
Reject Indology, yeah, exactly. We need to start our own schools of linguistics and all that. It needs to happen. I mean, the father of linguistics was Acharya Palani. So why can't we redo this properly? Tamil grammar and the Tamil language is also incredibly rich. Very interesting linguistics. And of course, I'm no expert in that. But we need to do this a priori. We need to ignore everything the West has produced thus far. We need to have our own institutes of linguistics. It won't cost a lot to create at least one institute of linguistics and have fresh, bright young people who look into all of this. Let's say a core group of 10 or 20 people who start fresh. It can be done. So linguistics should be a science, but it's not a science. It is a joke right now, linguistics. So they have created two branches of Indian languages, Aryan and Dravidian. And that's the whole problem. And like I said, they said that Persian, old Persian, is a sister language of Sanskrit. It's not, it's a daughter language of Sanskrit, and so on. So, this is one thing.
Even the present classical Sanskrit is a daughter language of Vedic Sanskrit.
Of course, yes.
And if you look at even the southern languages, then you will find that the loan words are
copious
from Sanskrit, even Tamil, which they treat as
what does Sangam mean?
About 40-50% loan words, whereas Malayalam and
70.
Telugu have 90%.
Yeah.
Kannada has about 80%.
Yes, they are more Sanskritized than any Indian northern Indian language right now. Hindi is more, Urdu is Arab is Persianized.
Yes. 100%. 100% agree with you. And plus in Hindi they have this problem of pronunciation, the schwa deletion that happens in Hindi.
Yes.
Like Bharat, they'll swallow the A. So Bharat becomes, in Sanskrit, if you translate the Bharat the way it is written, BHARAT, so in Sanskrit you will have to put a halant, that is half T. So in Hindi, that is a unique problem that makes it very difficult for the South Indians to understand.
Yes.
And that's what they keep complaining. What do these people do? They swallow their A's.
It's a genuine complaint. It's a
genuine complaint.
Yeah.
And even I complain because I know Sanskrit. So I find these people writing Hindi, they are not doing justice even to Sanskrit because the origin is Sanskrit.
Yeah.
So that is the linguistic part of it.
But do you think
right now there is a lot of interest among people, especially the present government has been projecting the Indian culture, the ancient Indian culture, everywhere. If you look at G20, which is going on.
Yes.
And a lot of other aspects of Indian culture have been promoted. And then comes one idiot and says that, Sanatan Dharma is to be eradicated. That only fuels the reaction and that only makes people wanting to understand this even deeper, don't you think?
Definitely, yes. So this entire animosity or hatred towards our culture, our religion, Sanatana Dharma, it all stems out of the Aryan-Dravidian divide, which was created out of the Aryan invasion theory. Okay, so lots of people in the South, they truly believe, I don't blame them for believing this, they believe that they have been oppressed for 3,500 years. That these foreign Aryans have taken over the country and they've imposed their evil religion upon us. So people, if you're taught this from childhood, you're going to believe it and you're going to have this sense of having been, oppressed and sense of injustice. So that is the dominant narrative apparently in many parts of southern India. And that's why politicians are able to blatantly, openly make such statements that Sanatana Dharma should be eradicated. And they associated it with inequality and all that. And there is no response that we have from our scholars or anybody. So that's what happens. So I had written about this in 2017, that the Aryan invasion theory is the root cause of all the separatism that you see, soft separatism, hard separatism that you see in various parts of India, and the sense of oppression and injustice that people have. And it also fuels conversions out of Hinduism. It gives these missionaries and all these converters the justification to say that Hinduism is evil and it's an oppressive, rapacious, inegalitarian, misogynistic, patriarchal, oppressive, invasive, all that.
All the adjectives all that
everything can think of. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. So all of that is justified by the Aryan invasion theory, because that is taken as the gospel truth today. And that is the problem.
And we know that gospels are all non-falsifiable.
Non-falsifiable, yes.
And non-falsifiable is scientifically?
No basis in science.
It's a dogma.
It's a dogma, yes. You just have to believe it, swallow it whole. No questioning allowed. No questioning allowed.
So Aryan invasion theory, can we call it a dogma?
It is a dogma because, look, actually it can be falsified. It's a theory. It's a proper theory. It's not exactly a dogma. But the way it is taken is in a very dogmatic fashion.
The purveyors of the Aryan invasion theory, they do not allow any falsification.
They don't allow any questioning.
They do not allow any questioning.
Yes.
हम कर सकते हैं और हम करते भी हैं.
हाँ.
हमने तो आपको आप जानते हैं आपके सामने ही अवार्ड अनाउंस हुआ था 2.10 लाख का.
Yes.
तो वो सब हमने कर रखा है.
हाँ.
लेकिन जो उसके डिफेंडर्स हैं तरह तरह के लोग आ जाएंगे जिनका कोई बैकग्राउंड नहीं है, साइडवेक बैकग्राउंड नहीं है, टॉनी जोसफ आ जाएगा उठ के एंशिएंट इंडियन.
सो क्या हुआ था कि फॉर द लॉन्गेस्ट टाइम हमारा जो एकेडमिक सिस्टम,
आपका बड़ा झगड़ा हुआ था टॉनी जोसफ से.
या आई मीन मैंने उनके उनका जो बुक है उसका एक रिव्यू आर्टिकल लिखा था. एंड आई हैड काइंड ऑफ टोटली शोन दैट एवरीथिंग द मेजर क्लेम्स दैट ही मेक्स आर ग्राउंडलेस, दे आर बेसलेस एंड दे आर फॉल्स. तो फिर ट्विटर पे कुछ हुआ था, वो चला थोड़ा आर्ग्यूमेंट टाइप का. ही इज लाइक वेरी एक्टिव ऑन ट्विटर एंड ही इज अ होल ट्रोल आर्मी बिहाइंड हिम.
नो, ही ब्लॉक्ड मी.
ही ब्लॉक्ड यू? अच्छा. सो मैंने उन्हें कहा था टोनी जोसफ जी को कि भाई उस समय आई वाज नॉट डूइंग अ पॉडकास्ट और एनीथिंग. आई सेड कम ऑन कुशल मेहरा पॉडकास्ट. एट दैट टाइम ओनली कुशल मेहरा वाज डूइंग पॉडकास्ट. आई सेड लेट्स डू अ पॉडकास्ट, कम ऑन, आमने सामने, नो नेम कॉलिंग, नो ऑल दैट. Let's have a civilized discussion. And since you have written a book, you must be really well read about this. You must be knowledgeable. So come and defeat me. Prove me wrong. So he ran away. So I have been issuing this request to him often. I recently requested him to come on my podcast. Kya jaiye, baat karte. But he always ignores that. So I don't know why he ignores that. I mean, it's a great opportunity for him to prove me wrong.
All of them do. वो जो क्लब है इनका, जो लेफ्टिस्ट क्लब है, वो दैट डिबेट्स ओनली अमंग देमसेल्व्स.
अमंग देमसेल्व्स.
मैंने रोमिला थापर को बुलाया था.
अच्छा.
नहीं आई.
नहीं आएगी.
मैंने इरफान हबीब को लिखा था, ईमेल का रिप्लाई नहीं दिया. मैंने रामचंद्र गुहा को लिखा था, ईमेल का रिप्लाई नहीं दिया. अभी मैंने क्रिस्टोफर जाफरो को लिखा.
अच्छा.
भाई आपका जो ये हिंदुइज्म हिंदुत्व वाला जो नैरेटिव है तो कम ऑन माय वर्चुअल डायलॉग, लेट्स हैव अ डायलॉग, आई विल आस्क यू फ्यू क्वेश्चंस. No reply. And these are the doyens of leftism in the world. Indeed. Christoph Jaffrelot, who styles himself as an expert on Hindutva.
Achha.
Wo Hindutva ke sabse bade scholar hain.
Achha.
Aur Rahul Gandhi ke bhi guru hai, wo bataya jata hai. Unko bhi bahut kuch mentoring karte hain unki. Toh ye sab jo aap dekh rahe hain na, wo inhi sare narrative se nikal ke aa raha hai. Aur wo Audrey Tushke ke bhi guru hain.
अच्छा, उनके भी गुरु
हैं.
ओके.
बड़े बड़े लोगों के गुरु हैं. उनको मैंने लिखा था. आप तो भाई, आप लोग अगर सुन रहे हो तो क्रिस्टोफ जेफरलॉ को भाई एक बार फिर से कह दीजिए, उनके DM पे जाके कह दीजिए या उनको टैग करके कह दीजिए कि यहाँ आपको बुलाया जा रहा है, आपका ज्ञान हम सब ग्रहण करना चाहते हैं. यू ऑल वॉन्ट टू लर्न फ्रॉम यू
ऑफ कोर्स
कि वॉट इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन हिंदुइज्म एंड हिंदुत्व, बिकॉज ही क्लेम्स दैट ही हैज लर्न्ड द हिंदी लैंग्वेज. I know his Hindi teacher.
Acha.
He says that what all he is talking is all bogus. So, Hindi teacher ke basis pe wo kehte hain ki chuki hai, unko Hindi aati hai, isliye he is an expert on हिंदुइज्म एंड हिंदुत्व.
अच्छा,
दैट्स हिज क्लेम टू फेम.
आई सी.
तो ऐसे लोग जो है वो डिसाइड करते हैं हमारे लिए कि भाई क्या नैरेटिव चलना चाहिए.
दे हैव बीन द गेटकीपर्स ऑफ नॉलेज फॉर सो लॉन्ग एंड दे हैव नॉट अलाउड एनी अदर नैरेटिव टू बी सेट फॉर. दे हैव देयर ओन नैरेटिव. और दूसरा कुछ, फॉर एग्जांपल डॉक्टर बीबी लाल, उन्होंने कितने सारे बुक्स लिखे, कितना सारा रिसर्च किया, नन ऑफ दैट वॉज अलाउड टू कम इन टू द मेन स्ट्रीम, इन टू एनी इंडियन टेक्स्ट बुक. वन ऑफ द ग्रेटेस्ट, मे बी द ग्रेटेस्ट आर्कियोलॉजिस्ट ऑफ द 20th सेंचुरी, प्रोफेसर बीबी लाल, उनको कंप्लीटली मार्जिनलाइज किया इन लोगों ने, डिस्पाइट द इनक्रेडिबल वर्क, द इनक्रेडिबल आउटपुट, द क्वान्टिटी ऑफ वर्क दैट इट डिड. कितने सारे बुक्स उन्होंने लिखे, कितने सारे पेपर, रिसर्च पेपर्स पब्लिश किए, नथिंग वॉज अलाउड टू कम इन टू इंडियन टेक्स्ट बुक्स. तो इस तरह से ये गेट कीपिंग करते हैं एंड दैट्स हाउ दे परपेचुएट देयर फॉल्स नैरेटिव. पीपल आर डूइंग रिसर्च. आज क्या है कि वी आर एबल टू टॉक, बट लेकिन 15 साल पहले देयर वाज नो सोशल मीडिया, देयर वाज नो आउटलेट फॉर पीपल हु हैड द नॉलेज बट हु कुड नॉट, दे वी वर नॉट अलाउड टू डिसमिनेट इट. सो दे जस्ट यू नो केप्ट दिस नैरेटिव गोइंग. Now it is being questioned. It has to be questioned because it's a completely false narrative. And we can discuss it further about genetics and other things also.
Quite right. So now we will talk about archaeology. Because archaeological excavations have also been destroyed completely. Because the legs are basically the legs. So one thing is that its geographical origin is सेंट्रल एशिया एंड देयर अबाउट्स. दूसरा जो है वो कहते हैं कि साहब की ये 1500 BC के आसपास आया. अच्छा, ये 1500 BC का भी जो है ये इन्होंने इसको बाइबलिकल क्रोनोलॉजी में फिट करने के लिए किया. इसका और कोई लॉजिक नहीं है, इसका कोई प्रूफ नहीं है, इसका कोई इन्होंने बस इट्स हाइपोथेसिस टू फिट इट इनटू द बाइबलिकल क्रोनोलॉजी. अच्छा, बाइबलिकल, बाइबल में एक रेस थियोरी भी है,
हैम शैम वो सब.
हाँ, हैम शैम वाली जो है, हैम शैम जैफेथ वाली जो रेस थ्योरी है कि वो नोआ हैड द थ्री सन्स एंड हैम वाज कर्स्ड और हम लोग जो है वो सब
हैमाइट्स हैं.
हैमाइट्स.
अच्छा.
और जो उसके फेवरेट थे वो फेवरेट उसके जैफेथ था. जैफेथ जो है वो ही इज़ द फोर फादर ऑफ ऑल द वाइट रेसेस. और शैम्स आर दीज पीपल इन द मिडल ईस्ट.
सेमाइट्स.
सेमाइट्स. ये सेमाइट्स हैं और जैफिथ जो है दे आर दी चोजन वंस कह सकते हैं आप उनको, या फेवरेट्स आप कह सकते हैं. तो ये जो हम लोग जो कर्स्ट वाले हैं तो उनको ये जो जैफिथ वाले थे वो वहाँ से आए. तो ये जो जैफिथ वाले थे उन्होंने हैम्स वालों को सबड्यू किया. वो दैट्स अनदर डिफरेंट थ्योरी, दैट इज़ अ रेसिस्ट थ्योरी. तो वो इसमें फिट फोर्स फिट करते हैं. लेकिन इसमें प्रॉब्लम ये है कि आप इसमें से कोई भी एक भी कि भाई देर वॉज नो इन्वेजन माइग्रेशन आइदर, और यू कैन शो दैट वो जो जियोग्राफिकल रीजन है दैट डिड नॉट एग्जिस्ट, और यू कैन शो दैट द लिंग्विस्टिक्स ऑपरेटेड हियर, और यू कैन सिंपली शो द 1500 BC थिंग एज इनकरेक्ट. तो स्टेरी फॉल्स फ्लैट.
या
चाहे उसको आप इन्वेजन कह लीजिए, चाहे माइग्रेशन कह लीजिए, टूरिज्म वाला आपकी जो थ्योरी है वो मुझे पक्का नहीं है.
पिकनिक, पिकनिक आएगा.
दर्शकों को बता दूं कि एक आर्यन टूरिज्म थ्योरी भी है जो कि हमारे अभिजीत चावड़ा जी की थ्योरी है कि भाई इसका टूरिज्म थ्योरी बना लो, क्योंकि इन्वेजन और माइग्रेशन तो सेट हो नहीं रहा.
और फिर टूरिज्म भी नहीं होगा, फिर पिकनिक खाएगी वो.
तो अब इसमें आपको पता है कि राखी गढ़ी में 6000 साल तक का मिल गया है. 6000 ईयर्स बिफोर प्रेजेंट.
जी,
6000 ईयर्स बिफोर प्रेजेंट का मतलब हुआ 3500 BC. हाँ. और भिरन्ना में 8000 BC तक का मिल गया है.
8.5 के आसपास.
8000 ईयर्स का मिल गया है. तो 8000.
तो भिरन्ना इज 9500 ईयर्स ओल्ड.
9.5.
हाँ, कार्बन डेटिंग.
तो 9.5 का मतलब हुआ
लगभग
7000 BC.
हाँ, यस.
तो 7500 BC हम जा चुके हैं, तो फिर इसमें क्या बचा? प्लस आपने बीबी लाल जी का नाम लिया. बीबी लाल जी के जो आपके उनके जो जो पूरा जो ये सरस्वती बेल्ट है तो उनकी इस्टेब्लिश की हुई है. ये आपके खाली बंगा वगैरह जो है वो उसी बेल्ट पे. लोथल उन्होंने निकाला और द्वारका उन्होंने एक्सकेवेट की।
द्वारका आई थिंक डॉक्टर एस आर राव ने किया था।
अच्छा, डॉक्टर एस आर राव ने किया था। श्योर, यस यस यस, मैं द्वारका डॉक्टर एस आर राव, लेकिन बी वी लाल जी ने इसके ऊपर सबके
बहुत बहुत
बहुत अन्वेषण किया। प्लस अभी आपके सुनौली वाला महाभारत का एविडेंस आ गया है, तो इन सबको देखते हुए आप क्या कहेंगे?
देखिए, इतना सारा एविडेंस है, आर्कियोलॉजिकल एविडेंस, कि ये सबसे पहले ये लोग कहते हैं कि हिंदुइज्म 1500 BC के आसपास भारत में आया विद आर्यन इन्वेजन। तो भाई, हमारे पास इतना सारा आर्कियोलॉजिकल एविडेंस है, राखीगढ़ी, कालीबंगा, बिरन्ना, एंड सो ऑन सो फोर्थ, मोहनजोदड़ो और हड़प्पा, वहाँ पर आपको कौन सा कल्चर दिखता है ये दिखते हैं। तो वहाँ पर आपको छोटे छोटे स्टैचुएट्स बनेंगे महिलाओं के, जिनके मांग में संदूर है। भाई, मांग में संदूर कोई सेक्युलर कल्चर तो नहीं है, दिस इज हिंदुइज्म, सनातन धर्म। सो मांग में संदूर इज ओनली एसोसिएटेड विथ हिंदुइज्म एंड विथ नो अदर रिलीजन। और ये 6000 साल पे पुराने महिलाओं के स्टैचूज बनेंगे आपके छोटे छोटे, जिनके मांग में सिंदूर है इन दीज वेरियस पार्ट्स ऑफ इंडिया। तो दैट डेमोन्स्ट्रेट्स क्लियरली कि हिंदुइज्म वॉज बींग प्रैक्टिस इन दीज पार्ट्स ऑफ इंडिया 6000 years ago। और आपको स्वस्तिक दिखेंगे हर जगह, स्वस्तिक इज अ धार्मिक सिंबल। हिंदुइज्म, बुद्धिज्म, जैनिज्म, सिखिज्म में आज ये होता है, शिंतो में भी है, एटसेट्रा, मंगोल्स भी करते हैं, इट ऑल केम फ्रॉम इंडिया और दिस इज अगेन अ हिंदू थिंग। सो ये स्वस्तिक आपको हर जगह दिखेगी, हर ऑलमोस्ट इन एवरी आर्कियोलॉजिकल साइट जो 5000, 6000, 7000 साल पुरानी है। तो आपको एसेंशियली एक
स्वस्तिक बेसिकली डिनोट्स द संसार चक्र, दैट्स इटर्नल साइक्लिकल टाइम, एंड दैट इज बेसिकली हिंदू फिलोसॉफी।
इट्स हिंदू फिलोसॉफी, यस। सो एसेंशियली आपको क्या दिखेगा, यू विल सी अनब्रोकन कल्चरल कंटिन्यूअम इन ऑल दिस आर्कियोलॉजिकल साइट्स that dates back to almost 10,000 years before today. Same culture has persisted. Kaun tha? John Marshall tha, jo bhi tha, who was the ASI chief in the early 20th century. Usne jab Harappa Mohenjo-daro ko excavate kiya.
Excavate to Rakhal Das Banerjee ne.
Haan, haan. Yeah, under his supervision.
Wo supervision to Calcutta mein baith ke kar raha tha.
Haan.
He basically, I should say,
He stole credit from
Yes. From Rakhal Das Banerjee.
So, us vyakti ne kaha ki the culture that you see in Mohenjo-daro and Harappa is so distinctly Indian and Hindu as to be indistinguishable from the Hinduism practice in India today. Aur ye Harappa Mohenjo-daro at least like 4-5000 years purana at least hai. So Hinduism was there in India 5000-6000 years ago, incontrovertible evidence hai. To kahan se bhai aapka Aryan invasion hua? With Hindu culture, with Hindu religion coming with Aryans from the Central Asian steppes, it totally destroys the theory. Whether it's an invasion or a migration or tourism or picnic, it totally destroys these theories. ये एक बहुत ही simple आपको evidence मिलेगा through all these archaeological sites. और it is known कि अब until the beginning of the 21st century ऐसा कहते थे कि सरस्वती नदी एक myth है. Where is the Saraswati? It is a mythological river that these stupid Hindus have invented out of their imagination. आपको आज दिखता है. I mean, it is now even being published in the journal Nature, and the most eminent reputable scientific publications in the world. It is that dry riverbed, that enormous dry riverbed, जो हिमालय से समुद्र तक आती है, it is now identified as the Saraswati. Incontrovertible evidence. और आपको अगर देखना है तो इवन इफ यू लुक एट द अंडर सी टोपोलॉजी ऑफ द रीजन, आपको उस नदी के का जो क्या कहते हैं पैलियो चैनल दिखेगा, द माउथ ऑफ द रिवर जो डेल्टा बनता है, यू कैन सी इट अंडर वाटर ऑल्सो, अंडर द ओशन अभी तक वो है। इट वॉज अ जाइगेंटिक रिवर विच वॉज फेड बाई मानसून रेन्स मोस्टली। आज भी वो रिवर है थोड़ी बहुत,
घग्गर
है,
बाढ़ आती है हमारा जो हनुमानगढ़ जिला है, उसमें वो जाके सैंड ड्यून्स में और वहाँ जाके वो बहुत सारे वाटर बॉडीज बनाती है जिसमें फिशिंग होती है आज भी।
अच्छा, और अभी रिसेंटली आया था बाढ़,
एक्सेस पानी आ जाता है तो बड़ी वहाँ प्रॉब्लम हो जाती है।
हाँ, तो अभी भी उसमें बहुत जोरदार बाढ़ आती है।
हाँ,
इट वॉज कॉल्ड द मदर ऑफ फ्लड्स ऋग्वेद में,
पहले उसने जो था, अब तो ये भी प्रूव हो गया ना कि पहले उसमें आपकी जो Yamuna and Satluj.
Satluj, yeah.
They both used to feed this river.
Yeah, फिर उसका course change हुआ and all that. So पूरा उसका geological history में पता है. We know how old it was. We know how wide it was. Massive river, बहुत बड़ी नदी थी. So it is now known Saraswati existed. It is not a myth. It was a real.
और आपके ऋग्वेद में नदी सूक्त में उसका पूरा वर्णन है.
हाँ.
और उसको उसको क्या नदी तमे कहा गया है यानी One of the mightiest river,
the mightiest, yes. Yeah.
Oh, ये सब तो अब तो ये प्रूव हो चुका है कि नहीं when Satluj drifted away,
हाँ,
क्या वहाँ पे changes हुए, tectonic changes हुए, because of which first Yamuna broke away, then Satluj broke away.
Hmm. It was most likely a tectonic event that caused the change of course. That is like 8,000-9,000 years ago की बात है. So बहुत ही पुराना history है इसका. And eventually, we know that around 2000-1500 BC के आसपास ये नदी mostly dry out होगी southern part में, लेकिन अभी तक northern part में थोड़ी बहुत जीवित है ये नदी. और ये भी हम जानते हैं कि along the dry river bed of the Saraswati, there are more than 2000 or 3000 unexplored archaeological sites. So सबसे ज़्यादा concentration of so-called Harappan archaeological sites are along the dry river bed of the Saraswati, not the Sindhu River. So the Saraswati was the major river in that time. और महाभारत में भी सरस्वती की बात आती है.
बिल्कुल आती है.
आती है ना.
ड्राई नहीं. आप बलराम जी की जो यात्रा है महाभारत में, आपको शायद पता हो कि बलराम जो है उन्होंने महाभारत युद्ध में भाग नहीं लिया था. वैसे वो दुर्योधन के पक्ष में रहा करते थे वो, लेकिन जब उन्होंने देखा कि कृष्ण जो है वो पांडवों की तरफ से लड़ रहे हैं, लड़ के आ रहे हैं, मतलब उनकी सहायता कर रहे हैं, उनके पक्ष में आ गए हैं, क्योंकि वो आपको पता होगा ना, वो अर्जुन ने जाके वहाँ पर कहा था कि भाई मेरे पास एक तरफ मैं अकेला रहूँगा और दूसरी तरफ मेरी अक्षौणी, चार अक्षौणी सेना रहेगी. तो दुर्योधन अर्जुन को पहला चॉइस दिया तो उन्होंने भगवान को ले लिया. अर्जुन बड़ा खुश हुआ, वो चार अक्षौणी सेना ले लिया. तो बलराम ने कहा कि मैं न्यूट्रल रहूँगा, और वो तीर्थ यात्रा पर निकल गए. तो बलराम की जो तीर्थ यात्रा का वर्णन है महाभारत में, वो सारे के सारे तीर्थ आपको स्थल जो है वो सरस्वती के किनारे में, और वो सरस्वती नदी का पूरा वर्णन उसमें आता है महाभारत में.
हाँ.
तो महाभारत का जो भारतीय परंपरा में जो उसकी जो डेटिंग है, वो यदि आप एक्सट्रीम डेटिंग्स छोड़ दें आप, यानी वैसे तो नीलेश योग 5651 BCE की बात करते हैं, लेकिन जो मैक्सिमम लोग बात करते हैं वो भी 3000, हमारा जो कली ईरा वाला जो कैलेंडर है 3102 BCE, उसके आसपास ही रहते हैं.
हाँ.
3067 में है, 3100 समथिंग में है, उसके आसपास है. 3100 आप मीडियन उसका ले सकते हैं. इतना तो मिनिमम है, इवन इफ यू डोंट गो टू 565.
हाँ हाँ, बिल्कुल बिल्कुल.
तो दैट इज 5000 ईयर्स बिफोर प्रेजेंट.
हाँ, महाभारत.
और बलराम जी की जो यात्रा है वो पूरी की पूरी उसके किनारे दिखाई जाती. तो उसका लिटरेरी आपका कोराबोरेशन हो रहा है.
बिल्कुल हो रहे,
कोराबोरेट हो रही.
हाँ, तो ये बात है. सर,
द पॉइंट इज दैट द वेस्टर्न इंडोलॉजिस्ट, दे ओनली वॉन्ट टू ड्रिल होल. वाई? Because their dogma of the biblical date of this earth's birth in 4004 BCE has to be sustained.
So I'm sure there are many scholars today who don't want to adhere to the biblical dogma, but they still don't want India to be regarded as the oldest civilization. And there is this jealousy towards India in the West, whether they say it or not. They are jealous and they don't want, they want to portray, see, Western jo world hai, they say it is Western civilization. Theek hai, let's assume it is civilization. They say ki uska jo roots hai Western civilization ka, it is Greece, Mesopotamia and Egypt. Okay? So they want to portray these three civilizations as older than India. To perpetuate the so-called greatness of Western civilization. So that's
another. But they killed off all these three.
They destroyed all three. There is no Greek civilization left. There is no Mesopotamia left. There is no Egypt left.
They Christianized everything first.
So?
And later on, in Islam came and gave them a proper lesson.
So they will only glorify those civilizations they have destroyed. And India has not been destroyed. India has refused to die. And that's why they hate India. There is this hatred. There is this jealousy. There is this resentment that we have refused to lie down and die. And you see this in Western academia. There is a lot of hate there. You spoke about people like Trotsky, Audrey Trotsky and all. And there is this Michael Witzel who once mistranslated a verse of the Nasadiya Sukta.
Yes, yes.
And he was exposed very badly, that fellow. He's a German Indologist who works in the US. The Nasadiya Sukta mein obviously ye ek Atharva Ved ka ek text hai jo kehta hai, which speaks about the migration of a king called Amavasu. Aur usme kehta hai ki Amavasu migrated westwards. His people are the Aratta, the Gandhari and the Parshu. To hum jante hain Gandhara log kaun hai, Parshu kaun log hai. Aratta could be Armenia or something, most likely, but we still don't have a complete proper identification. Usme ye text, Sanskrit text mein likha hai ki he went westward. Michael Witzel ne uska translation kiya, he went eastward. And it was a very blatant lie. And it was
he was caught.
He was caught, exposed, and he has no way of refuting that he was deliberately mistranslating that. So these people have been caught in fabrication.
He has done it deliberately.
Yes.
He doesn't know Sanskrit. One of the two.
Well, either he's not an Indologist or he's a liar. But both ways he's exposed. So these people have been caught in the act. They've been caught red-handed.
Like Sheldon Pollock. He takes out all his spirituality from the text. What is called a literal translations.
Yes. See, you will not see a non-Jewish person teaching Judaism. You will not see a non-Christian teaching Christianity. You will not see a non-Muslim teaching Islam in the US. You will see people from that faith and from that culture being the authority at teaching to students. When it comes to Hinduism, it's always non-Hindus who take up the mantle of the great scholars who are going to teach the world about this primitive religion called Hinduism. So this is something that has been going on for decades. It's high time India does something about this and takes back.
That's because there was first the colonization.
Yes.
First there were, of course, the brutal invasions. Then there was the colonizations. And after that, we have had, for nearly 70 years, we have had quasi-colonization.
Yes, continuing colonization, mental colonization and academic colonization. So that's the kind of disrespect with which Hinduism is treated in academia in the West. And it's time that we start our own foundations and our own institutes of Indian studies, of Hindu studies. I think some steps have been taken to some extent. UGC now allows universities to offer these courses about on Hindu studies, master's degrees and all that. But we need to have institutes of this, not just courses here and there, which can still be distorted possibly. So these things need to happen. But yeah, the Western Indologists have been distorting our texts. They have been fabricating lies about migrations and all. Jahan pe clearly dikh raha hai ki bhai West mein migration hua tha. They are saying East mein migration hua tha. So they know what the truth is. The truth is that Indians see, India was this big, huge population center. The Saraswati Sindhu era, if you look at the geographical extent, it is larger than Greece, than Egypt and Mesopotamia put together. Usse bhi bada hai. And the population was the highest at that time in India, at least 5 million individuals, which was bigger than anybody else. So India was the place from which you had migrations outside of India. It is clearly proven that 5,000 years before today, there was a migration of Indians into Australia. But Australia kahan pe hai? Samudra ke beech pe hai. Indians reached there. And today, if you look at Australian Aboriginal people, if you analyze the genetics, about 10% of their genetics comes from India. Indian genetics, not North Indian or South Indian, just Indian, because it's the same. And at that time, you have the influx of this new species in Australia, the Indian dog, dingo, jiska aaj descendant hai, the Australian wild dog called dingo. And you have the advent of new technology also in Australia at that time. At the same time, 5,000 years before today, you have the sudden appearance of Indian cattle in the Fertile Crescent. On one hand, you have Indians reaching Australia 5,000 years ago. On the other hand, you have Indians reaching the Middle East 5,000 years ago. Looks like those
Hittites and Mitanni.
Hittites and Mitanni.
You have the evidence of rice going out of India.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the evidence of the bull.
Indian zebu bull, zebu cattle. And they are interbreeding with local cattle over there. So, see, bulls and cows, cattle, don't tell each other, chalo aaj jaate hain migration ke liye. Yes. They will go with humans.
They go with humans.
They're domesticated species. Mm. And today you have Indian zebu cattle and their descendants all across Europe, across the Middle East, also all across Africa. Around 2000 BC, you have the advent of Indian cattle in Egypt. Aaj se 4000 saal pehle. So all of this is an indication that around 5000 years... Mice also. And all that. So around 5000 years before today, somehow there was a big outpouring of migrations out of India. All directions. Into Australia, into the Middle East, maybe westwards into Europe also.
Southeast Asia.
Also, you will see Cambodia, all that, which has clear Indian DNA. Indonesians are anyway half Indians. Indonesia, hai bhai. And Africa also. So this was the real Aryan invasion or Aryan migration. We never invaded. We migrated and we assimilated wherever we went. So that's the thing. So there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of Aryan invasion, migration. Now, ye log kya kehte hain, Joseph log, ki there were many small, tiny waves of migrations. Not one migration. Chote-chote migration hote rahe.
Tourism
essentially. Uska bhi evidence dikhao, bhai.
Be surprised. Some very eminent scientists, I'll give you an example of a Pakistani scientist, eminent scientist. I like him otherwise. Parvez Udwai. If you listen to him a couple of times, he tries to be very rash.
Oh, yeah. When it comes to Hinduism,
but completely sold out to the Aryan invasion theory.
Yes.
Closed mind. Doesn't want to listen. Doesn't want to argue with anyone.
Is he a Parsi?
Present. No.
Is he a Muslim? Okay.
Muslim.
Okay.
So you see these closed minds even in India. Tony Joseph is one example. He can go to any extent not just peddle lies, but to invent history.
He doesn't have the guts to defend his book.
Yeah. So nobody has the guts to defend the Aryan invasion theory. 2 crores is not a small amount. Come on.
Aa jao bhai.
Hum isko 10 crore kar de kya?
Tab bhi nahi aayenge. Yeah.
Because it is still a hypothesis. It is not a theory. Nobody has proved it scientifically. Nobody has written a paper like the way they demand a paper today. There has been no peer review even at that time. Today, if you have to publish a paper with peer review, it takes you years and years and years.
Yes. Yeah.
So, just Max Müller publishes some nonsense and becomes a dogma. Hey, yes.
And then in all peer-reviewed papers, they take that as the input assumption. If 1500 BC is Aryan invasion or advent of Aryans into India, us assumption ko lekar fir they will make new theories and they will base all their justifications on that. You will see that in peer-reviewed papers. The assumption that 1500 BC was the advent of Aryans into India. So, I don't know what sort of peer review that is. You know? Yeah, actually. Yeah.
There is a spurious review.
Absolutely. How can you make that assumption? What is the foundation on the basis of that assumption that you've made? There is none. And that gets peer reviewed. It passes peer review.
Tony Joseph has not been peer reviewed.
No, he's not peer reviewed. He has been given the stamp of approval by David Reich.
David Reich himself is now participating in papers that are disproving his own theories.
It's actually happened. Yeah, yeah. और धीरे धीरे ईस्टवर्ड्स आ रहा है ईस्टवर्ड्स पहले सेंट्रल एशिया था
पेशावर तक तो पहुंच गया
क्या बोलते हैं तो कौन सा गोल्डन आर्क के कुछ तो बोलते सदर्न आर्क सो मे बी मोस्ट लाइकली
सदर्न आर्क आल्सो एंड देन दैट नॉर्थ वेस्ट फ्रंटियर आल्सो दोनों जो है वो
धीरे धीरे द ओरिजिन ऑफ द
पार्ट ऑफ दिस न्यू पेपर व्हिच इज ऑन द एनुअल I think he's part of that also.
We'll see. David Reich typically has his fingers in all the pies in the world. Uska naam ka har jagah it crops up.
Only because he had a fine DNA lab.
Because he has established a massive DNA lab, a very well-funded DNA lab. And all students in this field that typically come from his lab also have some association. So they have to be on his good books. And then there is the Max Planck Institute in Germany also, which is also tied with the David Reich lab and all that. ये सब अंदर अंदर की बात है इन लोगों के लिए. सो दे ऑल हैव द सेम वर्ल्ड व्यू, दे ऑल यू नो सपोर्ट ईच अदर एंड सो ऑन. दैट्स हाउ इट इज. लेकिन दे ऑल मेक द अजम्पशन दैट यू कैन कोरिलेट जेनेटिक्स विद लैंग्वेज एंड रिलीजन, विच इज सच एन इनक्रेडिबल ridiculous argument, because if let's say an Indian person converts to Christianity tomorrow, that DNA won't change, right? I mean, how can you tell a person's language and religion from their DNA? But they are trying to correlate that with language, with migration of languages and culture.
DNA of Pakistani is the same as Indian.
It's the same DNA.
But they don't speak any Indian language.
They don't have Indian culture.
They speak a different brand of Urdu, which is Persianized Urdu that they
yeah.
speak.
Yeah.
Even the Indians in Indian Muslims, they don't speak that language. And certainly no Hindu speaks that language. DNA is probably the same.
Once again, another example is Turkey. The DNA is Greek DNA and Anatolian DNA, maybe Armenian DNA. But the culture is Turkic, the religion is Islam, the language is a Turkic language. So what's the correlation between DNA and your culture and language and religion? Nothing. But still, when it comes to the Aryan invasion, migration, tourism thing, they try to correlate, they always insist on correlating DNA with religion and language. And then there's the R1A thing. R1A is the Aryan gene, apparently. It's not a gene, it's a haplogroup. It's a bloodline. It's a vansha.
Ab baat karte hain genetics ki, jo aajkal ka flavor hai. Very, very in these days. तो ये जो जेनेटिक्स वाला जो मामला है, ये कब शुरू हुआ, क्यों शुरू हुआ, अब क्या चल रहा है, क्योंकि इसमें अप्स एंड डाउन्स होते रहते हैं, कई अलग अलग तरह के फाइंडिंग्स आते रहते हैं. इसमें मदर साइड का आता रहता है, फादर साइड का आता रहता है. तो ये थोड़ा सा ऐसे बताइए जिससे कि आम हमारे जो ऑडियंस है उसको भी समझ में आ जाए.
जी, तो हम सब में, हम जानते हैं कि हमारे बॉडीज़ में डीएनए होता है, और डीएनए एक बहुत ही यूनिक मॉलिक्यूल है, जो आपका डीएनए ऑलमोस्ट किसी से मैच नहीं होगा. एवरीबॉडी हैज़ यूनिक डीएनए, इट्स लाइक अ फिंगरप्रिंट. तो 21वीं शताब्दी की शुरुआत में ह्यूमन जीनोम को हमने पूरा मैप कर दिया, और फिर टेक्नोलॉजी आने लगी जिससे हम जेनेटिक रिसर्च कर सकें. और उससे क्या हुआ कि वी वर एबल टू स्टार्ट ट्रेसिंग आउट पीपल्स जेनेटिक लीनिएजेस. तो उसमें कंसेप्ट आता है हैप्लोग्रुप का. तो हैप्लोग्रुप क्या होता है? इट इज़ अ लीनिएज, एक वंश होता है. और दो प्रकार के हैप्लोग्रुप होते हैं, मैट्रिलिनियल एंड पैट्रिलिनियल. तो पैट्रिलिनियल हैप्लोग्रुप जो है वो वाई क्रोमोसोम के ऊपर से आता है, और जो मैट्रिलिनियल हैप्लोग्रुप है वो माइटोकॉन्ड्रियल डीएनए से आते हैं. So matrilineal haplogroups are passed down from mother to children, but only transmitted through the females. Or patrilineal haplogroups are transmitted through father to son. So a haplogroup is an extended family which carries a specific mutation, genetic mutation, which happened at some point in the past. Kuch haplogroups aise hote hai ki the mutation originated maybe 2000 years ago. कुछ होते हैं कि जिनका म्यूटेशन ओरिजिनेट हुआ 5000 वर्ष से पहले आज से. कुछ होते हैं जो 20-30 हज़ार वर्ष पुराने म्यूटेशन से, बट दे ऑल स्टार्ट विथ अ सिंगल इंडिविजुअल. तो ये होता है एक हैप्लोग्रुप. तो आज एक बहुत बड़ा हैप्लोग्रुप है, एक्सटेंडेड फैमिली है, जिसका नाम है R1A1A और RM17, दो उसके नाम है. दिस इज एन एक्सटेंडेड फैमिली ऑफ पीपल जिनका जिस दे ऑल कैरी अ सिंगल म्यूटेशन, वाई क्रोमोसोम म्यूटेशन, विच ओरिजिनेटेड विथ वन सिंगल पर्सन, वन सिंगल मैन, मे बी 15, मे बी 20, मे बी 25,000 ईयर्स अगो. एग्जैक्टली हमने अब तक पिन पॉइंट नहीं किया है, बट मोस्ट लाइकली दैट म्यूटेशन एंड दैट इंडिविजुअल, द फर्स्ट फाउंडर वॉज इंडियन, मोस्ट लाइकली. तो इसके ऊपर आजकल बहुत कंट्रोवर्सी चल रही है, because the number of members of this haplogroup is most likely more than 1 billion.
1 billion?
Most likely more than 1 billion. They are spread, there are two areas of geography.
Almost one-eighth of the entire world population.
Yes. So there are two geographical areas where you have a high concentration of R1A1A. One is the Indian subcontinent. Dusra is Eastern Europe.
Acha.
So Eastern Europe is supposedly one of the original homelands, hypothetical homelands of the Aryans.
Aryan homeland theory jo hai wo wahi batati hai.
To ab prashn ye uthta hai ki ye iska actual origin kahan par hai. To genetics mein clear cut rule hai essentially ki jis geographical region mein ek haplogroup ke sab haplogroups ka sabse adhik diversity paya jata hai wahan par wo originate hua. Then most likely it's going to be India. So abhi tak research chal raha hai. Research is going ongoing.
Why do you say most likely it is going to be India?
Because India has the highest diversity of R1A1A and sub-haplogroups. Dekhi, agar ek jagah par koi mutation originate hua hai, to wahan par population jo hai, wo sabse zyada samay tak wahan pe rahi hai. Aur wahan par fir obviously sub-mutations honge. That is just how it works in genetics. Mutations happen on a regular basis at a certain frequency. So wherever the mutation first originated, you will have more sub-mutations, means child haplogroups of that original haplogroup. And you will find the most highest frequency of that and highest diversity of R1A1A in India. But ye main keh raha hu, but it is not yet completely proven, not yet published. Research chalo hai. Neeraj Rai ji, Ganesh Chobe ji is par research kar rahe. And as we know, most likely by the end of this year, and maybe before that, we will have a published paper or at least a preprint, jis pe sab saaf ho jayega, doodh ka doodh, pani ka pani ho jayega, ki bhai R1A1A India mein originate hua. Most likely RB, jo uska parent haplogroup hai, wo bhi most likely India mein originate hua hoga. And dusri baat hai ki jo out of Africa migration hua tha, kuch 70 or 4000 years pehle, usme original founder zone tha Bharat. कि जो माइग्रेट्स थे आउट ऑफ अफ्रीका वो ईस्टवर्ड्स पहले आए एंड दे फर्स्ट सेटल्ड डाउन प्रॉपरली इन इंडिया और फिर भारत से हर जगह अलग अलग जगह पे माइग्रेशन हुआ. एंड हाउ डू वी नो दिस? जेनेटिक्स. एक हैप्लोग्रुप है, मेल हैप्लोग्रुप, जिसे कहते हैं हैप्लोग्रुप एफ. इट इज़ द और एंसेस्टर ऑफ मोर देन 90% ऑफ ऑल नॉन अफ्रीकन मेल्स लिविंग टूडे. इट ओरिजिनेटेड इन इंडिया अबाउट 60,000 ईयर्स अगो. Or and the oldest non-African female haplogroups are M and M, which also originated in India some 65-70,000 years ago. So India is the original founder zone of the out of Africa migration. ये थोड़ा पुराना history हो गया, but that is of genetics works. So R1A1A की बात करते हैं, तो most likely 99% is going to be proven that it originated in India itself, or India में से ये spread हुआ दुनिया भर में. More than 1 million members today.
1 billion.
1 billion. And many of them live in Europe and many of them are what we would call the white people, white race. Right? But they are all related to each other, including Indians. And you will find... Dusri baat kya aati hai ki bhai India mein caste system hai aur invasion hua hai. So why do we find such incredibly high frequencies of R1A1A in tribal people, in southern India, in Tamil Nadu, In the people who speak Telugu, people who speak Malayalam, you even find significant percentage of R1A1A in Manipur. So it tells you that this is an indigenous haplogroup. It has nothing to do with North versus South divide. It has nothing to do with Aryan versus Dravidian. It has nothing to do with the linguistic divide or the so-called high caste, low caste divide. Sab mein paya jata hai ye. Sab mein paya jata hai. Itna purana hai ye. And it's an Indian, most likely going to be proven by the end of this year that it's an Indian haplogroup, Indian origin haplogroup. So that tells you that if Aryan invasion has happened, it came out of India and went westwards, not the other way around.
Persian gene?
If we look at Persia in the haplogroups, you will find more of R1B perhaps or R2. I don't exactly remember, but R1A frequency is about 10% ke aas paas hai. ये अजीब बात है, बिकॉज पर्शिया इज यू कुड से अ सिस्टर सिविलाइजेशन और डॉटर सिविलाइजेशन ऑफ इंडिया. और उसका हिस्ट्री है कुछ, जब पर्शिया केम अंडर टर्किक ऑक्यूपेशन इन द पास्ट 300-400 ईयर्स, दे ब्रॉट इन लॉट्स ऑफ पीपल फ्रॉम द कोकेसस रीजन एटसेट्रा एंड सेटल्ड देम इन ईरान. सो आज बहुत सारे ईरानियन जो लोग होते हैं, दे विल हैव ब्लॉन्ड हेयर एंड ब्लू आइज, those are not the real Iranians. Those are imports from the Caucasus region. Original Persians kaun the? Hamare hi log the.
Wo jo ek Hystaspes jo unka ek bada hero hai.
Vishtaspa. Vishtaspa.
Wo Vishtaspa hamare Rigved ka Vishtaspa hai.
Ho sakta hai, ho sakta hai. It is possible. We're not sure correlation exactly hai ki nahi, but it is
Vishtaspa. Late Rigved, kyunki Rigved also has been written over a period of thousands of years. Wo koi ek akela nahi hai. वैसे आप आई डोंट नो वेदर यू रेड थालागिरी ही हैज गिवन द ओरिजिन ऑफ ऑलमोस्ट ऑल द हिम्स
हाँ
किस ऋषि ने क्या लिखा कैसे लिखा
ही इज डन एन इनक्रेडिबली डिटेल्ड एनालिसिस ऑफ एवरीथिंग
वो पूरा उन्होंने दिया हुआ है
यस
ये ब्राह्मणिकल जीन क्या है
ये क्या होता है आई हैव नेवर देयर इज नो सच थिंग एज अ ब्राह्मणिकल जीन
ब्राह्मणिकल जीन क्योंकि मैं नीरज राय जी से बात कर रहा था वो कह रहे थे कि R1A जो है इसको ब्राह्मणिकल जीन कहते हैं
कहते हैं लेकिन है नहीं इसको ऐसे पोर्ट्रे किया गया
ये उधर से पोर्ट्रे किया गया
ये नैरेटिव बनाया गया है टू डिमोनाइज द ब्राह्मण्स दे हेट ब्राह्मण्स बिकॉज़ ब्राह्मण्स जो ब्राह्मण थे हमारे और है दे हिस्टोरिकली केप्ट आवर नॉलेज एंड सिविलाइजेशन अलाइव विद्या एंड दैट्स व्हाई दे हेट देम इफ यू प्रिजर्व द नॉलेज एंड द विद्या यू विल बी हेटेड Because they want to destroy the knowledge and vidya, without which there is no Sanatana Dharma, there is no Hinduism.
Yes, one of the reasons why Indian civilization has survived is because the knowledge was kept intact. Our scriptures, our granthas, they were kept intact through oral tradition. Can you imagine? What a Herculean task.
Because all of our libraries were destroyed and burned down, we had to keep it alive through memorization.
And they did that. That was done by the so-called much despised Brahmins.
Herculean task. And they kept it alive despite all the odds. And we demonize them today.
We demonize them for nothing because they were not even allowed to accumulate wealth.
They had no power, they had no wealth.
No power.
How would they oppress people if they had no power, bhai? Did they have a standing army to order around? They had nothing. Their only job was to preserve knowledge and transmit knowledge. Utna hi tha unka role. Advisory role wasab tha. Okay, there can be some elements of power if you want to take it that way. But they had no actual temple.
And they were respected because of their sacrifices.
Yes. So we have totally misinterpreted our past. We have allowed outsiders and our enemies to decide what our past was and to create the narratives that we are now taught in schools. And that's why people think bhai Brahman bade evil the. Ye tha, wo tha. It's all nonsense. It is all stories and narratives created by outsiders and enemies.
And till date, not one instance has been given from the past of any Brahmin oppressing any lower caste person.
Show me the evidence. Dikhaiye evidence.
Because they didn't have power. Simple as that.
Yes. It was very clear that the Kshatriyas had power.
Had power.
Yes, the warriors, the warrior class, they had power.
So some people, they purvey the narrative or peddle the narrative that these people, these cunning Brahmins, they had a lot of power over the Kshatriyas and they made Kshatriyas do this.
Man. I mean, how ridiculous does it sound?
As if they had no other job. They were fully overtaken by the restrictions that they had to follow. If you look at Manusmriti, the first chapter, and if you look at the restrictions that a Brahmin has to endure, I can guarantee you, even if you give every kind of incentive, nobody would go through that near torture, I would say.
Mm.
And people used to practice that willingly.
Mm, yes, yes.
And from generations to generation.
Yes.
That is the beauty of this Sanatana Dharma. And today you have somebody coming across and saying that Sanatana Dharma is purely evil and it needs to be destroyed because it preaches inequality.
There is no equality in the world, first of all. Equality is a myth. There is no such thing as equality. Some people are born tall. Some people are born short. Some people are born more intelligent. Some people are born less intelligent. Look at the animal kingdom. Is there equality in the animal kingdom? Look at the entire history of humanity, whatever is known. Has there ever been equality anywhere? The nature of the universe is that there is inequality. Everybody is different. Everybody has some strengths and some weaknesses. Everybody should be given the same opportunities, of course, but you can't expect the same results from everybody. There is no equality in the world. And in any functioning society, there's going to be division of labor. People will organize themselves. If you have a... look at the military. There is hierarchy. There is division of labor. You can't expect a grunt guy whose job is to fire bullets to do the strategic job that a general does. In any corporation, you're going to have a hierarchy without which the corporation collapses and your business is going to be destroyed. That's the nature of any well-functioning society. You're going to have division of labor. You're going to have hierarchy. That is what you see in every society in the world. But only India is demonized. Because we are the oldest, and that's why we have a long tradition of organizing ourselves in specific ways. And they say that the so-called higher castes have been oppressing the so-called lower castes. Show us the evidence historically where this happened. Kuch nahi hai.
There's not been a single rebellion in
their
the
evidence,
Indian society. There's not been a single rebellion in the Indian society.
Yeah, yeah. Their evidence is what the British missionaries wrote, the European missionaries wrote. That is their evidence. The enemies come here, they write stories about our history, and then that is taken as evidence. That's just the way things have been done. It's high time we correct all this. Seriously.
They won't correct it.
They won't correct. We will do it.
They won't correct themselves.
Yeah.
What do you think about this Stalin Putra going on this tangent and vilifying the entire Sanatan Dharma? And of course, he is a follower of Periyar, I guess, because the Dravidianism, that entire Dravidian script is heavily inspired by people like Periyar.
Look, I'm not surprised. This obviously is disappointing. It is condemnable, but it's not surprising. This is the natural outcome of the Aryan invasion theory and the narratives that have been peddled, especially in southern India, where the entire narrative is that we have been oppressed for these many thousand years. So vote us into power and we will save you all. We will liberate you all. And how do we liberate? By espousing soft separatism and anti-Hinduism and all that. So that's the narrative that's been going on for decades after independence. So this is the natural logical outcome of that. So I'm not surprised. But we have to... if we want to correct this, we have to start with the education system. We have to start with the bureaucracy, the IAS, all that. And we have to start making tangible changes. Maybe now? Maybe now would not be a bad time to start that?
Yes, I think the beginnings have been made.
Beginnings have been made.
I think the first time a clear-cut discussion took place on the Aryan invasion theory was when David Frawley and you did a dialogue here. On the platform of the Jaipur Dialogues.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was the first time I came in a public appearance. Thanks to you, sir.
And yes, viewers, that offer is still open. You know, we never closed that offer. The Aryan invasion hypothesis or even migration hypothesis. Come and prove it. It's 2 crore 10 lakhs. I'm increasing it to 2 crore 25 today. Chalo, 15 lakh aur le jao. Proof to karo. Wo hypothesis proof karo on the same standards on which these people review, a peer review, a scientific paper.
Absolutely.
I think that would be a good incentive for anybody to do.
Totally. It's a significant sum of money. Aa jao bhai. It's yours for grabs. See, without the foundation of proper of science, the Aryan invasion, migration, tourism, picnic theory is of the same caliber as the flat earth theory or the theory of Noah's Ark. Absolute nonsense, absolute joke. So that is where the Aryan invasion theory actually is. But that's the kind of narrative we have been peddling since the 19th century. That's what our education system has done to our people. Generation after generation after generation of Indians have been brainwashed into believing this. And that's why they believe certain things. I don't blame them for believing it. I don't hate them for believing it. But we have to correct this because this is all lies.
What about another aspect of this? Because this is probably also an offshoot that we have not been able to tell our own history of science. Though, of course, a lot has been talked about our history of philosophy, and a lot of people have taken our history of philosophy, but our own history of science and mathematics has not been told even to our own people.
Yes, it has not been done because they have deliberately suppressed this. There is enough evidence from external sources, for example, Kitab al-Hisab al-Hind and so on. See, all these al-Birunis and all that, they are in the West, they are portrayed as great polymaths who knew astronomy, who knew pharmacology, who knew toxicology, who knew grammar, who knew mathematics. They knew everything, apparently. The fact is that these people came to India with the first Turkic or whatever invaders of India. They went to our, they accessed our libraries. They took out whatever was of interest to them, whatever they could understand in the little brains, and they translated everything from Sanskrit into Persian or Arabic. And eventually this was transmitted into Europe. So that's why they call it Arabic numerals and all that. But all of this knowledge came from India. The Persians knew about this. The Arabs also knew about this. That this knowledge.
Why is knowledge. That this Al-Khwarizmi, who wrote this Kitab al-Hind, and he was to head that particular Arab house of wisdom, Darul Hikmat.
Mm-hmm.
So Darul Hikmat, he used to head that. But he called it Kitab al-Hind.
They were very clear, yeah.
He credited India for
yes,
that.
Yes.
But when that knowledge went westwards further and it went via Spain, they removed that Hind part from it.
Actually, even Fibonacci and people like that, they said Numero, Indorum, or whatever. They also initially did credit India. But after the Europeans started conquering India, they were forced to obviously justify their conquest by saying Indians are primitive and barbaric and all that. So that's when they started denying this. And of course, the Jesuits, they're a whole different story. They are a class of Catholic priests whose entire raison d'être, the reason for existing, is to go to various countries and steal the knowledge and then digest it into the Western knowledge systems. So many of them came to India. They took out astronomical data, copious amounts of astronomical data, transmitted it to the West. And that's how Kepler's laws of planetary motion came about, with Indian astronomical data.
Without any acknowledgement?
Absolutely no acknowledgement. And there's much more. There's so much more. So I'm sure that today many Indian scholars have started writing about this. Many books.
Infinite series?
In fact, it's so much trigonometry, science and cosines, like you said, infinite series, algebra, you know, so much. All of this came out of India. Calculus itself. I mean, the foundations of calculus came out of India at least a century before Newton and Leibniz. Both apparently independently discovered it in the same year. ऐसा कैसे होता है भाई? एक जर्मनी में बैठा है, एक इंग्लैंड में बैठा है. For thousands of years, nobody knew calculus. Suddenly, in the same year, both of them came up with calculus. And then they fight each other. I did it first. How does that happen? Clearly, there was some external source of knowledge that both acquired, and they both rushed to publish it, and then they fought over who published it first. All this came from India. I'm not saying Newton was not a genius. Obviously, he was a genius. He was. No one can deny that. But calculus is Indian. It's not Newton or Leibniz. So.
Dr. C.K. Raju says that these people, they did not understand calculus, and he proves that they made mistakes in understanding calculus.
Okay.
And that he corroborates by saying that, okay, anybody who steals knowledge will not know the exact knowledge, and therefore he will commit mistakes. And he points out mistakes that Newton committed, and hence proves that calculus was stolen.
Okay. So, look, most of the knowledge...
And even if you look at those other ones, like what is known as the Pythagoras theorem.
That was known to India long, long before that. Even the Babylonians knew by the Pythagoras theorem.
There in the Shilpa Sutras.
Shilpa Sutras, right, yeah.
Not in the Bodha and Chol Sutras, but Manava Shilpa Sutras, that it is known that. And they used to use what is called strings to measure things. And this whole thing fetish about what is called formal maths, where you require a priori assumptions. only with that you can prove certain things.
Mm.
Whereas our mathematics was actually for practical use. And that is how it has proceeded. That is why they did not know negative numbers right till, I think, 18th, 19th century.
Right. So, look, it's clear that India was the inventor of much of the math that we use today. afterwards, they were built upon that foundation and taken it forward because our universities were destroyed, our knowledge systems were destroyed, our entire schools of mathematics were destroyed. So we could not continue it forward. So they took it forward and all that, but the foundation is Indian mathematics, Indian science, Indian astronomy as well. And that has been denied for so long. I'm glad that now Indian scholars are writing about this and some books have come out, etc. Dr. C.K. Raju himself has done incredible work about this. So I'm glad that the knowledge is now finally coming out.
And what should be done to carry it forward?
We need, what's happening right now is that individual researchers and scholars are doing it on their own, without any incentive, without any help from the government, or without any ecosystem to back them up. What we should do is at least have one university or one institute in which you study the history of Indian science. And overall, it can be part of Indian overall study of Indian history also. So we need to set up our own institutions. We need to have our own journals in which these results and these discoveries are published instead of having to go to foreign journals and publishing it there. So I think it's a low-hanging fruit for the Indian government to start. I've also said that we should have a global yoga standards institute. I mean, right now the whole world is stealing yoga and twisting it into God knows what forms. We should have a World Yoga Standards Institute in India. And that institute should decide what is yoga, what is not. I mean, in China, the Shaolin Temple decides what is Kung Fu and what is not. Why can't we have something like that for yoga in India? So that we stop the world from distorting and appropriating and stealing our cultural heritage. So I think this is something the government can set up easily. It doesn't take a whole lot of money from a government perspective. It won't take thousands of crores, maybe 100 crore or so, maybe. Whatever it is, it's low-hanging fruit that we really should start plucking.
Abhi, jo new education policy aayi hai, usme Indian knowledge system ke upar kafi emphasis hai.
Okay.
Aur AICTE, jo ki technical education ko supervise karti hai. IITs, IIMs, engineering colleges, management institutes, other specialized institutes, professional institutes. That is the remit of AICTE.
Okay.
And they have set up TKS, IKS, Indian Knowledge System cell. And the Indian Knowledge System is now being advocated to be included in the syllabus. And minimum 3 credits during their engineering. Minimum 3, maximum 8. So 3 to 8 credits they can take in Indian knowledge system.
Okay. So could you specify which knowledge systems are there?
So Indian knowledge systems, a lot of Indian spiritual systems, Indian mathematics, Indian science, and you have a whole aspect, Indian Shilp.
Okay.
Indian Shilp. Even, of course, spiritual systems, yoga and all comes.
Yoga, Mimamsa, all that.
Into a spiritual system.
Okay.
So all facets of knowledge. Indian knowledge system.
Okay. So at least 3 credits are required.
So 3 credits in a minimum 4-year course, 3 credits minimum. And 8 maximum.
Excellent.
So, and I'm told, I don't have a research data to back it up, but I'm told that there is a huge interest among students for these credits.
That's so good to hear.
So you think that is the way to go?
It's absolutely the way to go. We have to be rooted in our culture. I'm not saying that, look, obviously if you're an engineer, you're going to study science, you're going to study mechanics and all that, and so on. But you have to have some grounding, some connection with your culture. I think India is the only culture and only nation in the world which doesn't teach its history, its culture in school. If you look at European schools and education systems, they teach the...
That is because we are told Mughals brought us culture.
That's one of the...
But before that, we didn't have culture.
Yeah, so that's another thing. That's the attitude that's prevailing.
They brought biryani from a land...
Which doesn't produce rice. That's the kind of joke that has been foisted upon us for decades. It's high time we break the shackles. So, India is the only land where kids are not taught anything about their own culture, their own heritage, the heritage of their ancestors. So I'm glad this NAP new education policy is beginning to bring this into its ambit. It will really help connect our
earlier kids. They used to make humanities compulsory. Now instead of humanities you can take the IKS.
I would love to see the faces of these of the eminent historians and all that when they came to know about this. Some heartburn, they deserve it. Mm. So it's great. I'm really happy to hear this.
So with that, I think time to conclude.
All right.
Yehi par ab hum aapse charcha samapt karenge. Aapka bahut bahut dhanyawad.
Aapka dhanyawad.
Sabhi bahut bahut dhanyawad. Jai Hind, Jai Bharat, Vande Mataram.
Jai Hind, Jai Bharat, Vande Mataram.